Hello, everybody. Hello. Today is, let's see, Wednesday, March 12th, 2025. And we have with us Judge Andrew Napolitano. And what a man. What a story. Just got back from Moscow. Oh, how dare you go there, Judge? Why, you must be a Putin puppet. How dare you go to Moscow? You know, when I had that rally over here a couple of years ago, people called me a Putin puppet. I went after the guy. You're not allowed to talk about peace anymore. You can't go to any other country, you know. Judge, tell us about your trip that you just got back from.
Well, Gerald, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you. And Moscow is filled with the hustle and bustle of Midtown Manhattan. The streets are clean. There are no potholes. The shops are open and very busy. The restaurants are jammed. The Orthodox churches are packed to the gills during the days, during the weekdays, as well as on Sunday. Out of the ashes of the old Soviet Union has arisen a traditional Christianity, which I would liken to the pre-Vatican II era in America, the 1950s. Out of the ashes of the old Soviet Union has risen a free market economy with low taxes, with high employment, with a school system that requires English, fluency in English upon graduation. I was so totally blown away, and happily so, that the Moscow that I saw and experienced in the past 5 days is radically different from the one that Joe Biden and even his modern day predecessors, Barack Obama, who called Russia a gas station with an army or some insult like that. It is so radically different from the image the American government, particularly the federal government, wants you to have of Russia today. Somebody on Newsmax asked me this morning, what do you think the Russian people want? I said, that's an easy question. Normalcy with the West, the ability to travel here and engage with our culture, and mostly the ability to engage commercially with the West. I mean, it is a pain in the neck. You can't use a credit card. They won't accept a check on an American bank because their banks can't clear American checks. You can't fly there directly. So instead of a 10-hour flight, JFK to Moscow, it's a 20-hour flight, JFK, Dubai, Moscow. There's no animosity towards the United States. There's not any love of Joe Biden, but there's no animosity towards the American people. It was a very, very, very happy revelation for me.
You know, you talked about you had to go to Dubai. How stupid it is. What a idiot moron jerk politicians. What stupidity? How did that affect anything by canceling a flight from New York to Moscow?
I will tell you how it affected American businesses. $330 billion in revenue lost in the past 3 years. Russian businesses have learned to adapt, survive, and thrive without Western banks and without Western money. Obviously, there's some Western money. I went there with cash. I converted the cash to rubles. I spent the rubles. That's the functional equivalent of spending the cash. It was just a pain in the neck, and it was obviously very limited. Had my Amex card worked over there, I probably would have made some purchases, particularly of artwork, and shipped it home. But that's not possible at all. I don't know what Biden was thinking, and I don't know what Trump is thinking. He's continuing the sanctions. Now he's reopened up the pipeline of military equipment back to Kyiv. Now he sent U.S. intel back to Kyiv. Now he's resuming the Victoria Nuland, Tony Blinken orchestrated, let's use Ukraine as a battering ram with which to coerce Vladimir Putin. It's absurd. it's wrong, and it's contrary to everything he promised he would do.
You know, what was the inflation like? What were the cost of things compared to here?
I would say a little bit less. A little bit less than here. If you were to go to a Starbucks-like facility and buy a cup of coffee. By the way, you can go to an Ile shop right on Red Square and buy fabulous espresso. No espresso in the world is as good as the Salenti hand-ground espresso. But this espresso in Red Square is fabulous.
So the price is about the same, a little lower, you say, right?
I would say the same to lower. They do have inflation. You want to buy a house, the interest rate is 21%.
Wow.
Unless you're a first-time home buyer, then it's 6%.
Wow.
Flip side of that is you put your money in the bank, you earn 20%.
Wow.
Putin does not control the central bank. The relationship between Putin and the central bank is the same as the relationship between Donald Trump and the Federal Reserve. Yeah, he eventually gets to appoint people when a term expires, but they have extraordinary independence. The top federal tax rate, there are no state or local taxes. The top the top federal tax rate, 10%.
What do we got? We're at like 40% around here, right?
Yes.
Yep. Judge, if you you were brought there because the top guy, that's the international diplomat, Lavrov, invited you there.
He watches Judging Freedom.
Wow.
Told me he watches the show. Now, maybe he has people watch it for him. I don't know. But he obviously made some comments about, to me, personally, in small talk before and after, not when we're on camera, made some comments to me about what people have said on the show, which were quite accurate. So either somebody watches it for him and gives him an accurate description, or he truly watches it himself. I know he's very close friends with Jeff Sachs, and he told me he goes out of his way to watch Sachs when Professor Sachs is on.
All right, let's stop there, everybody. How long have we been saying you got to go to Judging Freedom? With the judge has on, the people he has on, the things that he talks about in Judging Freedom, you're not going to find anywhere, anyplace else. So go to Judging Freedom, because remember, the top foreign diplomat, what's his correct title?
He's the foreign minister, and he is the senior foreign minister in the world.
Yeah.
And universally regarded as the most effective and the most knowledgeable.
Yeah. And he asked the judge to go to Moscow to meet with him. So, Judge, can you tell us a little bit about what you talked about?
Well, we talked about Ukraine, and we talked about NATO, and we talked about Europe. Europe wants war. NATO has horribly managed this. They've mismanaged it terribly. They really thought that they could put offensive weaponry in Ukraine, and that would threaten the Russians. It would have threatened the Russians, and that's why there is no NATO offensive weaponry in Ukraine. I'll tell you, the American president they distrust and despise the most is Bill Clinton.
Oh, me too.
George H.W. Bush promised Mikhail Gorbachev, let the two Germanies unite and NATO will not move one inch
further
eastward. Right. What did Bill Clinton do? Brought Poland into a NATO, attempted to bring Ukraine into a NATO. And then he looks at me and he goes, what would happen if the Chinese put weapons in Montreal aimed at New York or in Tijuana aimed at Miami? How would you react to that? How would your president react to that? He's 100% correct.
I know.
And that's, of course, what NATO attempted to do in Ukraine. I asked him about Rubio and the ceasefire nonsense. He said to me, why would we agree to a ceasefire now if the war is almost over?
Yep.
No ceasefire unless our conditions are met. Crimea is Russian. The four oblasts want to be, that's the provinces in eastern Ukraine where everybody speaks Russian.
Right.
Want to be Russian. There can be no NATO in Ukraine. I'm not making these conditions up. I'll stop trying to imitate his voice. I'm not making these conditions up, he says. These are what were in the agreement negotiated between Ukraine and Russia before Boris Johnson and Joe Biden said to Vladimir Zelensky, don't go along with it, don't sign it, we'll back you up and you'll be triumphant and you'll be a great figure throughout history.
Yeah, when you talked about Bill Clinton, Judge, this is a T-shirt that I got made when he ran for president in 1992.
Yep. That was before all the Monica Lewinsky stuff. Beware Slick Willie. Well, that's what he was.
That guy, that what he did to this country, gave us NAFTA, brought China into the World Trade Organization, killed the Glass-Steagall Act, the Federal Communications Act. Remember when there were thousands of independent radio stations and TV stations?
Yeah.
And now six own 92% of the media. What this slime ball has done, and I could go on and on. Oh, I forgot. Didn't you love the Yugoslav War? Wasn't that great?
Yeah.
Yeah. You go on and on. An arrogant little piece of garbage. So going back to what your trip over here, and you know, you have an article coming out tomorrow, and it's my weekend in Moscow. And you say, so last week, again, I flew to Dubai. I mean, how stupid. What did they accomplish by stopping the flight going from United States to Russia? What did you accomplish by that?
Well, they took money away from the American Airlines and put it into the pocket of foreign airlines. I could have flown to Istanbul on Turkish Air, but my hosts preferred that I fly on Emirates to Dubai. Either way, I mean, that's money that could have gone to American domestic airlines, and it didn't because of these sanctions. You know, while I was there, Trump made a comment about increasing sanctions against Russia, and your favorite senator from South Carolina, I couldn't resist, backed him up. And I said, I guess Senator Graham has forgotten about the farmers in South Carolina. 90% of American fertilizer comes from Russia. Biden sanctioned everything except enriched uranium and fertilizer. Go ahead. Cut out that fertilizer, Lindsey Graham, and see if you get reelected. Cut out the enriched uranium that American power plants need because they can't get it domestically, and see if people are cold in the winter. I guess they don't have winters in South Carolina, so maybe he doesn't care. It just infuriates me when people make comments like that. Because every time the government interferes with the economy, something gets more expensive and somebody loses their job.
So tell us more about what Lavrov said and what they're looking for.
Well, he believes that the Europeans want the war to continue for their domestic military-industrial process. He startled me with a quotation from the head of German intelligence who said the war should continue until 2029 or 2030. Now, I had not heard that. You have heard it, and I now see it elsewhere, but I didn't know that that comment had been made. But that shows you the mentality of what he's dealing with.
Okay, Judge. The Trends Journal, you know, it goes out, it went out last night. You ready? You're talking about what Lavrov is saying about NATO and how they're ramping it up, the European. These are a couple of articles in this week's Trends Journal. German military industrial complex reaps windfall amid EU's militarization. You ready? Macron goes nuclear, says he provide France's nuclear deterrent for European allies amid threats from Russia. All Polish, these are different articles. All Polish adult men must be prepared to fight for war. It's one article after another.
You crystallized all this in one of the great one-liners in the English language. You, Gerald Celente. When all else fails, they bring it to war. Not just the United States, but Western Europe as well. And that's what they're doing. Frederick Merz, the former BlackRock executive, who's now about to become the chancellor of Germany, can't wait to remilitarize Germany, spend taxpayer dollars or money borrowed in their names to the military-industrial complex over here and in Germany. And that's Macron wants to do the same thing. Merz is really out of his mind. He wants to make the British and the French nuclear weapons communal property,
yep,
available for the Germans to use and threaten as well.
Yep.
This is insane. This was obviously violated several treaties to which Germany is a party, but I guess people don't care about treaties anymore. You make a promise and then you just break it.
Again, that's the article. Macron goes nuclear, says he'd provide France's nuclear deterrent for European allies amid threats from Russia. And there's lying. Going back, by the way, when all else fails, they take you to war. Macron's popularity rating is in the toilet. Germany is in a recession. This is the third largest economy in the world. It is the largest economy in Europe. They're in recession, and now they're going to be spending all of this money for the military, and then you have to say, hey, moron, you're going to spend all this money in the military. If you go to war with Russia, it will be the end of life on Earth. It will be nuclear annihilation. Why are you wasting all of this money? People have to understand is that the people running governments are arrogant, ignorant, narcissistic pieces of crap. End of story. It isn't about the people. It's only about them. That we have these clowns telling us what to do. It's like the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus and the guy putting it on and everybody doing what they tell you to do.
I can't disagree with you. I don't know what's going to become of Europe once the United States and Russia enter into the Grand Reset, a new normalization. And once we do, it'll probably involve China, Brazil, and India as well. Europe wants to be left out. That's going to be their loss.
And again, you know, you look at what's going on there, and it is, where are the people to stop this? Where are the people rising and saying, we had enough of this. We want peace. You mentioned this clown that they just bring, that the chancellor in waiting in Germany, a former BlackRock guy.
Yeah.
How stupid can you be not to see this? And again, when you and I were young men, there were no BlackRocks. There were no Vanguards. There were no State Streets. Oh, the three companies, these hedge funds, private equity groups, venture capitalists that own 88% of the S&P 500. That's right. This is Robber Barons 2.0 in a different way. They're controlling the world. You know, Judge, I want to say something quickly about, I mean, we have to go. But, you know, Trump came out. I want to play this clip. This was last week when he spoke. And I watched the whole damn thing for 100 minutes, the longest talk ever to Congress that Trump did. And this is what he said about bringing peace and freedom to the United States.
And I have stopped all government censorship and brought back free speech in America. It's back.
Tell that to the Palestinian student, a permanent legal green card resident, married to an American with obviously an American baby who just graduated from Columbia University, who's now in a Louisiana lockup because of statements he made on the Columbia campus last spring. And tell that to the others that are in Trump's crosshairs, because he has said the arrest of this guy is a test case. It's before a federal judge this afternoon. The judge will say, what are the charges against him? The charges, immigration charges, are filed in secret. What are the charges and what is the evidence? And why isn't his speech protected by the First Amendment? See where
Trump, Trump bullshit in front of everybody's eyes for everybody to hear.
Yes.
A total lie. Here's what he said, by the way. Quote, ICE proudly apprehended and detained Mohammed Khalil, a radical, you ready? Foreign pro-Hamas student on the campus of Columbia University. This is the first arrest of many to come. We know there are more students at Columbia and other universities across the country who have engaged in pro-terrorist, anti-Semitic, anti-American activity, and the Trump administration will not tolerate it. Many are not students. They are paid agitators. We will find, apprehend, and deport these terrorist sympathizers from our country, never to return again.
Well, you know, the courts have often shown tremendous deference to the president on matters of foreign policy, but there's the government is still going to have to prove its case. I hope the case is tried in federal court with a neutral judge. If it's tried in immigration court, the prosecutor is Marco Rubio. The judge works for Marco Rubio. What the hell kind of a system is that? You can't make this up.
As I said, it's the Ringling Brothers and Bartlett Bailey Circus. Could you get a little more of a nothing clown than Marco Rubio? What a little jerk. Judge, thanks for being on. Thank you for all that you do. Everybody go to Judging Freedom if you want to know what's going on in the real world about the foreign policy. Judge, thanks for being on. See you next week.
Thank you, Gerald. All the best, my friend.